The Sahaba, the stars of guidance, the propagators of the Quran Kareem, and also for those believers who are their followers in faith. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, the difference between them and us is one clear point, that whatever Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, they accepted it, and they accepted it without question. They did not go into the pros and the cons. They did not say if, or they did not say this must be in this circumstances, or this is applicable to them. Whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, they accepted. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu was entering the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was delivering a sermon. So before commencing the sermon, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ijlis, sit down. Now Ijlis in Arabic means sit down, and it has got the tense of command in it, and giving an instruction. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, who was at the door, or at the entrance of the masjid. Now those days, and especially the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not like ours. Fully carpeted, lights, air condition, and fans, etc. No, it was just palm trunks and leaves. When it rains, it gets wet. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, who immediately when that sound reached, he sat down. One leg in the masjid, one leg outside the masjid. Why? Because the instruction of the Nabi is sit down. So he sits immediately. At this point here, the Sahaba is successful. Whenever the person accepted Islam, and then he immediately accepted everything which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated. Immediately. That is why they were able to give their lives, their property. They were able to make their children orphans, make their wives widows, all for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrificing everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not prepared to wait a second, but making jihad all the time. That is reported, Hazrat Abu Zar referring to Allah ta'ala during the Khilafat of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He requested Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala to give him permission to leave Madinatul Munawwara and go to a place called Rabwa. It is away from Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Usman gave him permission. Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala should stay there. He had his cattle there, and he should make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time came that he is lying on his deathbed. Now he's lying there, his wife near him, and his wife begins to weep and cry. So Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala cries from his wife, but why are you crying? She says that I see the attitude and mentality of the Sahabiya. She says that you are going to pass away. I am an old woman. I am a weak woman. I haven't got the ability to make kafan dafan for you. I haven't got the ability to give you ghusl. I haven't got the ability to make a grave for you. I haven't got the ability to enshroud you. I am very old and feeble. She never say that, oh, you going now, what's going to happen to me? You will die, I'll be left alone here. People are going to attack me, people are going to kill me. No, nothing like that. And she never say, oh, you are going to die, I'll be left a widow. No, nothing like that. She's worried that who is going to make the kafan, dafan, who's going to make salat and janazah, who's going to make the grave, who's going to enshroud him. She's worried about that. Hazrat Abu Zar al-Fari radiallahu ta'ala also replied that don't be perturbed, don't cry, be at ease. He said, how can I be at ease when this is going to happen? He said that after I pass away, then you must immediately cut an animal and prepare it. When you have done this, then you must go up to the sand dunes. You will see there are people coming, and they were on the way to for Hajj, and they will be coming swiftly, raising and leaving dust as they come along. And when they come, you stop them. You invite them. And you say, Abu Zar has given them salams and regards. And then you give them the food to eat. And then you tell them that Abu Zar has passed away, that you can make his arrangement. She said that, how you say this? And how you certain about this? He said, there'll be eminent Sahaba there amongst those people. He said, but how are you saying this? The time for Hajj is drawing very near, and all the caravans have gone through. There won't be any more caravans. He said, no, there will be. He said, how are you saying all this with so much certainty? And Abu Zar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala said, that we were in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to one narration of Abu Zar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, said that there were three of them. And he said that one of you will pass away in the battlefield, and one of you will pass away while working, and one of you will pass away in isolation, in desolation, where there be no one. And by Allah, those two others have passed away, and the one left. And this applies to me, that I'll be passing away in isolation. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the one who passes away in isolation, then he will be buried by eminent Sahaba, who will be on their way to go for Hajj. And they will be rushing to go for Hajj. So I'm certain that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's word will come true, those Sahaba will come. So you do accordingly, those Sahabas must come. And do not be afraid, you won't have to do anything. Then they say that he left instructions that after I pass away, because we don't know how long those Sahabas are going to take to come, then if you begin the place, put more fume, etc. So that when those Sahaba come, they don't have to smell a dead body. Because they are going to be the guest, and although they are, there will be a death here, there will be a mayat here, but they, when they are eating, they must not be disturbed that there is a mayat. That is why give them food first, so that they eat their full first and they enjoy the meal, then tell them what has happened. Hazrat Abu Zar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala passes away. His wife now look at her iman, first of all on her husband, and more so because her husband directed what Rasulullah stated. He immediately cut an animal, got it ready, and went out of the house and waited up on the sand dune. And lo, the caravan is coming, and the horses are coming swiftly, raising dust, leaving dust, and coming. He beckoned to them to stop, and she said that Yola Musafir has come and has some. Who are you? No, we are from the family of Abu Zar al-Ghifari. They came, and the place was all perfume. He gave them the food, and he said that Hazrat Abu Zar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala was conveyed salams, and he has passed away. He requires ghusl and shrouding and janaza. He reported Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who was one of them. And he began to weep excessively, cry excessively. And he recalled the hadith. He says, verily Rasulullah stated, Ya Abu Zar, that you were alone when you came into Islam. You are alone. You'll be alone when you pass away, and you'll be alone when you get up on the day of Qiyamah. See how easy man to write things and reiterating the firm faith in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But yeah, Abu Zar, you'll be alone with you. You'll be alone when you accept Islam. You'll be alone when you pass away. You'll be alone when you come up on the day of Qiyamah. They went, gave ghusl, and shrouded him, buried him in salat al janazah, took the family of Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and exported them. Took them away to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. At that time, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was very grieved at what had transpired, and it is reported that he took the daughter of Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu amongst his household. Made her amongst the household, buried them inside the family. Here, the point that I want to make is that how firm faith Sahaba had that if Rasulullah stated something, then they were prepared to give their lives for it. They were prepared to sacrifice everything for that. And Islam spread because of that. That Rasulullah spoke about Jannah, Jahannam, promised Jannah. Rasulullah said that we should spread deen. Rasulullah said we must make jihad. Rasulullah said we should go out in the path of Allah. Rasulullah said that these are the rewards if you go out. They accepted it. And when they accepted it, then their belief was in that acceptance. Their conviction was there. This conviction, if it comes in our life, then inshallah it is very easy for us to leave for our warm bed and come for Fajr Salah. It is very easy for us to go out in path of Allah. It is very easy to preach and propagate Islam. It is very easy to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under dire straits, under poor circumstances, we don't require wealth, property, luxury, mansion to propagate all these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm discussing Surah Fatiha. Inshallah, I'll try to complete today. This surah is also called Al-Hamd al-Salah. Al-Hamd means, and it is called Al-Hamd because in this surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised. You can see from the starting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised. Is it a matter of asking anybody? If you go to anybody, you cannot just tell him, listen, I want this, I want this, I want this. First you have to go and praise the person, go talk to him, make him feel happy, and then you ask him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated, قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَسَمْتُ السَّلَاةِ بَيْنِ وَبَيْنَ عِبَادِي عَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي. This way, that this surah is half for my banda and half for me. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَعَالَ, and for the servant is for what he asked for. In this surah, yeah, whatever the servant asked for, that means the reciter of this surah, whatever the servant asks for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to him. From faith we should have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us from faith in Islam, grant us the ability to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I've divided the salat, the surah al-Fatiha into two. One half is for me, and the other half is for my banda, the slave. And for my slave, will most surely be given that which he asks for. فَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُ, and when the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the Rabb of the Alameen, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he has given, my servant has given thanks to me. Basic idea that every ayat we recite, Allah Ta'ala replies it. Every ayat we recite, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala replies it. Yet this hadith here is the reply is given by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to our surah Fatiha. That when we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala verily says, Hamadani Abdi, that my servant he has praised me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking cognizance of the fact that we have praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the servant says, وَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُهُ, when the servant says, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَالَ عَسَدِي عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي, then my servant has greatly praised and glorified me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acknowledging that. وَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُهُ, and when the servant says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, قَالَ اللَّهُ bajarani abdi. When my servant says, Malik Yawmiddin, my servant has exalted my honor and greatness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies that, bajarani abdi, my servant has exalted my honor and my greatness. Everything we are saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying accordingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying in a better fashion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yes, my servant is praying. This is one of the reasons we state very clearly that even in the nafil salat and in your farz salat and wajib salat, that read slowly. Don't read fast. Take your time and read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conversing with us. That is why the hadith is clear. As-salatu mi'raj al-mu'mineen. The salat is the mi'raj of the mu'mineen. And you and I know, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for mi'raj, then he spoke with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the salient features of mi'raj is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was some discussion, there was a conversation, there was some revelation. Here, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if a servant wants to whisper with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should make salat. Why? When he is whispering with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُ When the servant says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَقَالَ هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِ That this verse is equal. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَعَلَ And this verse is equally divided between me and my servant. Ibadat is for me and for my servant is whatever he asks from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that ibadat is for me. And this verse now is saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ You can see that this, when I commentated on this, I said half is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and half is our plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is replying accordingly. That قَالَ اللَّهَ هَذَا بَيْنِ وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِ That this is between me and my servant. وَلِعَبْدِ مَا سَعَلَ And for the servant, whatever he asks for, I ask. So with this firm faith, we should read Surah Fatiha in our salat also. That whatever we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us. This is one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after every faras salat, your dua is accepted. Commentators say that immediately after the faras salat, that dua they are referring to, you should make dua then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that dua. Another commentator say that he is referring to the dua after the faras salat, but it refers to that one dua will get accepted, inshallah, after the faras salat. وَإِذَا قَالَ عَبْدُ إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ till the end of the ayah, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَؤُلَاءِ لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ When the servant says, إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ till the end, Allah says, this is my servant. And whatever my servant desires and asks for, he will get it and get much more from me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the servant will get much more from me. Thus the Surah Fatiha is the most glorious and most majestic surah of the Quran Kareem. It is reported in one hadith that Shaitan lamented, wept, and threw dust on his head on four occasions. Shaitan became annoyed and started crying and pulling his hair and doing all these things on four occasions. First, when he was cursed. Secondly, when he was thrown out of the heavens. Thirdly, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made a Nabi. Meaning, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you and I know, a Nabi is born a Nabi, when the first And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the first creation. At that time he was very upset. Fourthly, when Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed. When Surah Al-Fatiha was revealed, it comes clear in the hadith that Shaitan became very annoyed, very cross, and he was very upset. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the value of Surah Fatiha, to understand that Surah Fatiha is important, and it's just not a recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this salah, and we should take advantage of all its benefits. In salat, out of salat, I've taught you how you can take benefit of the surah outside salat. And we should have firm faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing us. And one point here, that we should have firm faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. People say, no, I'm such a great sinner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I feel shy to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a very interesting and very nice hadith concerning this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that there was a person going with his donkey or with his conveyance, and he had his luggage on that conveyance, and he was going on a journey. Then it became very hot, so he decided he tied his conveyors near the tree and he rested under the tree. When he got up, he sees that the conveyors is gone, the luggage is gone. The conveyors is gone, the luggage is gone. So he begins to get worried now. He's out there in the desert. It's hot, scorching heat. And no luggage, no conveyors, no food, no water, nothing. So he begins to search. He begins to search and look around. And as a human being, he begins to walk and search and look. And it's getting hotter. He looks and gets tired. He gets so tired, he begins to rest now. Comes back to the tree and rest. Comes out of the tree, decides to sleep away. Sleeps away. When he gets up, he sees his conveyors there, he sees the luggage there. He sees the conveyors there, and he sees the luggage there. So in ecstasy, in joy, in delight, this person, out of delight, he loses himself completely. He loses complete control over his thinking ability. He loses complete control over what to say. Then he says that I am your Rabb and you are my servant. I am your Rabb and you are my servant. Instead of saying you are my Rabb and I am your servant. Instead of saying that they're addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying you are my Rabb and I am your servant. Because the Rabb provided, the Rabb took the conveyance away and brought it back. He gets so confused, he says, I am your Rabb and you are my servant. In that ecstasy, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he comes so happy. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets more happier than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets more happier than that when a person sins and he comes back and he pleads before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets even more happier. I thought in hadith, there was a person from the Bani Israel. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this person had murdered 99 people. So he was not an ordinary murderer, he murdered 99 people. So he went to a 100th person and told him, and he went to the person who was a pious person, an Abid it comes. And he said, see, I murdered 99 people. Is there any way out for me? Is there any forgiveness for me? So that person, the hadith also proves a few things. The person who was a pious person, but he was not a knowledgeable person. Remember, there is a difference between piety and knowledge. And when piety and knowledge combine, then that is good. When piety and only piety means that the person should be pious and not make any rulings. So that person said, oh, there is no way out for you, the pious person said. So this murderer of 99 people says, yeah, I got 99 people dead. This one person also, it doesn't make any difference. Understand? So he killed him too. 100. Rasulullah said he killed him too. Now he went to another person. He went to this person. After a few days, again the thought came in his mind that, is there any way out for me? Is there any way out for me? So he went to another person. This time he went to an alim. A person with pious and also had knowledge. Then quite a person, see, I killed 100 people. Is there any way out for me? Is there any forgiveness for me? He said, yeah, there is. So what is it? Quickly tell me. He said, yeah, you must go to a certain area. You must go to a certain locality. There are good people there. You go there. You go to that place. So, no problem. He began to go. All his route, here comes the angels now, because this person is about to die. Now the angels of good and the angels of bad. When a good person passes away, the angels of good come and take their soul away. When a bad person passes away, the angels of bad come and take it away. So they are debating now, who must take the soul away? The angel of good says, no, he made an effort, he's out now. You must take him away, it's my turn to take the soul. The angel of bad says, no, he made so much sin, I must take it. They went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, see, it's very easy to solve this, that you measure the distance from the point where he left, from the point where he died, you measure that distance. And from where he is dying to the point where he is supposed to go. If this point here, from the way, place where he left, and to the point where he is dying now, is greater in distance, and this other place is shorter, that means he is closer to the destination. He's closer to the destination of the town than the angel of good must take his soul. It is reported in the hadith becomes clear in the hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that the person pushed his chest forward while crawling and while dying. He pushed his chest forward, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action of this person, that this person at this stage is even making an effort towards the good, irrespective of his bad past. He's making an effort towards good, towards the good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the distance. It is reported, the commentators of hadith say, that although it was clear that he had a long, long way to go, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the earth closer for him and made the distance very near and made it seem very near. So those angels, when they were measuring it, they saw the distance very near. The hadith says the distance was very near. So they said the angel of good was taking for him. So it proves, few points, that going from a bad environment to a good environment, a person's life can change. Secondly, that the knowledge, the masala masail, must be taken from the ulama. Thirdly, that we always say that go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll get forgiveness. Going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proven from here. That you go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you forgiveness. Also, that for reformation, for renaissance, if you stay in your own locality, and your own locality is not improving yourself, for example, a person is bad, and he's staying in that old, in his own locality, which is rotten, spiritually degraded, and is not a very prosperous as far as Islam is concerned, then he must go out of that locality, go to a better locality. When he goes to the better locality, the influence of that, those people will come out to him and he'll become a better person. Also, it proves that company, good company will give good results, bad company will give bad results. So, inshallah, we should make effort and try to change our life. One person like you, Hazrat Ibrahim Adham, Rahmatullah Ali, very pious and great saint. He was living in luxury, total luxury. And he was the king of that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to give him some indication that reform and change, otherwise he was in big trouble. And various things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought onto him. And then he became one of, he reformed and became one of the greatest saints of his era. One very interesting incident took place. One day, he came into his room. When he came into his room, he found his servant, maid servant, lying on his bed. And she was asleep. He got very upset. He got very upset and he lashed her with his whip. When he lashed her with his whip, she smiled at him. She smiled at him. So he got even infuriated. And he said, why are you smiling? So the reply she gave is very interesting. She said that I have been punished for lying on your bed. And you have given me one shot of that whip for lying on this bed, this soft bed here. Can you imagine how much you would get because how long you lie on that bed? How much use in store for you? For me, I just laid there for a little while. For a little while I lay there, you got very upset and you gave me one shot with your whip. Can you imagine what's in store for you? You like the all the time. So he left the whip down and got shocked and realized that there's something to think about here. Another incident about him, that while sleeping, someone got onto his rooftop and he, on his palace in this area. So he came out onto the balcony and began to shout. So what are you all doing on the rooftop? Can't you not leave me in peace? What are you all doing late in the night? What are you all doing on the rooftop? So those people said, we'll be looking for stray donkeys. So he began to laugh. So what are you looking for stray donkeys on my rooftop? The person replies, how can you find Allah in that luxury there? Let me try to figure out too. You can't find your stray, we can't find our stray donkeys here in the rooftop. How are you going to sit in that luxury and find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Come out of that place, please. You understand? One day, it is reported that he went hunting. He went hunting, and these are all I'm stating is written in the book of Tazkirat al-Awliya, Memoirs of the Saints. He went hunting, and as he was pursuing the prey, the hunted animal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it power of speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do what he wants. So gave power of speech, and that animal turned around and spoke to him. And told him that, why are you hunting me? Death is hunting you. more than you hunting me. Death is hunting you more than you are hunting me. So you worry about death, don't worry about me. You understand? So all these are warnings for people. And you can see, alhamdulillah, that if we too look and open our eyes, there are a lot of warnings around us. That we should change, we should become better. And we become better, people may brand us. Maximum they can brand us. That this person goes to the masjid, or this young person is designed to reform, or this person has become Sufi, or this person is attaching to the masjid. But in the grave, in the akhirat, we stand better. As alhamdulillah, that whatever we do, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah will be rewarded, and we'll have an easy birth. And that is most important.
Ya Rahim, Ya Rahman Rahim, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali ربنا أنزل في الحسن وفي الأخذ أحسن في نجاح الناس اللهم صل على والديا والأستاذية والجميع المسلمين اللهم صل على رب الكرم الرحيم يلا فجوا عمي جمع يسوع يلا ملك بلا سفر غول ودوالة ولا حلفاس يلا ذات هداية لأمة النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم يلا إسف إيجا لأمة النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم ورغوك دعوة التبليغ يلا ولما جماعة تعميك الإيجي فلان أنا ولما في بلادين وتأذى خدمة تصدير whether it be the مدرسة the دار العلوم whether reading writing whether lecturing whatever they are doing يلا make it very easy يلا make it easy for us to practice Islam in our shops and our factories and our homes يلا make us simple and practical Muslims يلا grant us ability to have true firm faith in you يلا save us from the punishment of the grave يلا make accountability very easy for us يلا grant us ability to spend our wealth our property our blood and our sweat in your path يلا grant us ability to be very steadfast in salah يلا grant us ability to have the importance of Islam, Iman, Yaqeen in our hearts يلا accept our dua through the wasila of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين